You're listening to The Comedy Cellar, live from the table on the Riotcast Network, riotcast.com.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to The Comedy Cellar Show here on Sirius XM Channel 99, The Comedy Channel. Recently reinstated table in the back of the Olive Tree Cafe above The Comedy Cellar, the most famous...
Well, it is the most famous table in comedy.
The most famous geographical location for comedy in the world.
Yes.
And we're here with one of the great comedians in the world, Mr. Dan Natterman, and Krista Montella.
And you're chewing gum.
I'm taking the gum out.
Yeah, you might want to do that.
Can I have a napkin, please, Ben? Ben, can I have a napkin?
Apparently we double-booked the show, so we have to do two shows tonight.
All right.
Whatever. So...
Well, I thought that might be interesting.
I'm so fed up with this booking on this show that I really can't take it anymore.
You don't even pay attention to it.
because I tried, and Dan throws a tantrum, a temper tantrum.
All I ask for, very simply, is that we once a week speak. I'm very accommodating. I send emails. I say, here's the guest I want. Anybody have any objections? No, inevitably does not respond.
So if nobody has
objections, I say, okay, let's book.
I've never objected to any guest. I believe, unlike you, that any guest can be interesting.
That means every show ever created is wasting an awful lot of money with bookers and you know. Do you think Howard Stern just lets anybody waltz in the door? He puts great pains into who he books. In the old days, he could only get strippers, so he took strippers. Now he doesn't need to do that anymore.
I've never heard Howard. First of all,
because he picks his guests with great care.
I'm not advocating booking a deaf, dumb, mute, but I'm saying that any person with any kind of resume that we find interesting that would be pitched here, you just
created an exception that you could drive a truck through.
I think I can make almost anybody interesting.
What do you think that? Do you?
Yeah, but. Oh.
We could always bring up topics that are interesting that everyone can discuss.
But yes, and what I'm saying is that if you think someone might be a good guest, I'm like, well, if Dan finds this person interesting enough, I'm sure we can make it interesting. If you have interest in the person, I mean, if it's somebody you have no interest in, then maybe it would be boring. But I think no matter what, I don't think Howard Stern has ever not been good. No matter
Picks his guests with great care.
Yeah, but even when the guests are kind of a dud,
then he throws them out or he hangs up on.
He still makes them interesting.
He has a power that we never use, which is the power to tell somebody to get the hell out of here.
Listen.
But since we don't have that power, we have to choose our guests with great care.
I know how.
Just like a New York City apartment cannot let anybody rent because if they don't pay their rent, it's hard to get them out.
Listen, sir.
It's very hard to get our guests out because no one refuses to say beat it.
I listened to Howard Stern. I knew Howard Stern, and you are no Howard Stern, okay? Go ahead.
Now we have a calendar that we can check, and it's just, I think it's more just the scramble.
So finally, I said, Calabria, like, all right, yeah. Listen, I said, you know what, you book the guests, but whatever you do.
But we didn't know that.
If I'm no Howard Stern, then maybe we should be even more careful who we bring on, because apparently I'm not capable of making anybody interesting that's not already very interesting.
And I said to Calabria, I said, listen, you can book the guests on one condition.
Clear it with Dan.
You want to bring Calabria up here? He's here. I said, you have to clear it with Dan, because I'm tired of him.
All right, bring Calabria over here. Calabria.
Because I'm tired of Dan threatening to quit every week. It's like a kabuki dance.
Why do we need Calabria? We had a fine system. We text
and we exchange ideas.
Who are we getting now? That's good. Who are we getting now?
People who are interesting to me. We're getting a Huffington Post political reporter.
Oh, for Christ's sake.
Listen,
no,
Dan.
I thought you were going to have your own political show on Sirius to get it out of your system.
Well, I need my own political show on Sirius.
Yeah, well, I thought we were going to do that.
Funny,
do that.
All the other people in the comedy world book politicians and stuff on their show. Stephen Colbert does. Letterman did. Bill Maher. Politics seems to be a perfectly acceptable part of comedy.
If Barack Obama...
for Dan fucking Natterman.
If Obama wants to come, or somebody interesting, but somebody that wrote a book that doesn't really... that I could logically come up with much of the same arguments that he comes up with, that's not very good on mic. No. If Obama wants to come on, I'm all for it.
What are you talking about? We have Tyler Kincaid coming on.
Who's Tyler Kincaid?
The Tyler Kincaid.
He is a senior editor reporter. Now, this is important. He is a senior editor reporter of the Huffington Post. And let me tell you what.
Plus, there's 80 billion podcasts. I thought last week would inspire you. We had a great show after the Godfather. I thought you'd be inspired. I thought you'd be inspired by the other show that we did with Sam Morrill talking about the alligator controversy.
Yeah, but we don't have any alligator controversy this week.
Okay.
Okay,
well, then,
hold on.
Then we have Will Sylvans coming in to talk about his new joke show.
How many weeks are we going to talk about Will Sylvans' huge dick, really?
This no, we're not.
No,
we're
not his dick.
As many
that's
weeks
the
as
only
you...
thing about Will I find interesting.
No, it's not.
It's the most interesting. Anyway.
No, well...
Go ahead. Steve, what do you want to... Stephen Calabria, also a Huffington Post reporter, is our booker, and all I told Stephen was, you need to clear all guests with Natterman, because... He throws hissy fits. Isn't that what I said?
You're right.
And did you clear the guest with Natterman?
I did not.
Okay. Now, should we pause?
So now we have two reporters that will have to do two shows with them. And I may or may not phone in that show, but we'll see. I mean, it'll, you know. I don't know who these two reporters are.
I'm sure we could do one show, half an hour with our guests and half an hour with the reporters.
Right.
And that would be a tight show.
I think it'd be a little too tight. But if we need them toward the end, we feel we're running on fumes, perhaps we can bring them in.
All right.
I would rather have that flexibility.
All right, let's see how it goes. So anyway, you want to make fun of Steven? Or?
I don't want to make fun of Steven, but I would say to you, you know the kind of guests I want, you know the kind of guests I don't like.
So, what kind of guests do you want? Go ahead, tell them.
Obviously, people that are famous are fine. People that have done interesting things, not necessarily written about interesting things, but done interesting things, take precedence over people that have written about interesting things, unless those people are famous, like Ann Coulter, for example. And things that are directly related to the comedy Cellar are always good, because I'm trying to create a reality show environment. We have fascinating characters right here at the Comedy Cellar. We have, we have, for example, all kinds of crazy shit is happening here.
So
not an example.
So if either one of these people had had a relationship with the Comedy Cellar...
Who are these people that you booked for today that I was not aware of till about 10 minutes ago?
Well...
Tyler Kincaid.
All right. He'll tell us about the Partridge Family and how he...
And Oliver Darcy, for crowd's sake.
Who is the editor, the senior editor of Business Insider's politics section.
The Business Insider's
the exact, we're gonna have the a little, exact type of and creature coming, that they're Dan coming out Natterman
to, they're coming on together?
Yes.
And we're going to have a little talk about Trump.
Would either of them have been more acceptable if they had had a relationship with the Comedy
Cellar? Yes, of course. It's always a plus.
So
he's setting you up. I can feel it. Go ahead.
I feel it too.
I know Calabria. Oliver Darcy was the Business Insider reporter who covered our last Ann Coulter debate at the Comedy Cellar, and he's basically put us on the map media-wise.
That's great. Okay.
Okay.
Take that, Dan. And what else?
Well, that's pretty much it.
Okay. Thank you, Stephen Calabria. So should we bring our guests over?
Well,
are you not done with Stephen?
I just tapped. No, I'm done with Stephen. You're dismissed.
Okay.
And we thank you for your efforts.
Should we invite Will and Emma over? Emma?
We can. I just have a couple things I wanted to talk about.
Go ahead.
First of all, the new menu is coming, everybody.
The new menu is coming.
Now, just to recap, the Comedy Cellar was it? 19... When did you start with the new renovation? It feels like forever.
Around 5 months
ago. Around the turn of the century.
Yes.
About 5 months ago, they decided to renovate the kitchen. So we've been without food. We have to go to the local neighborhood establishments to eat. Gotcha. We don't have in-house food. But I'm told that within 2 weeks, that kitchen is going to be reopened for business, and we're going to have a menu that I looked at it the other day, and it'll knock your socks off. And we certainly look forward to that. I do. I wonder, Noman, I want to ask you, if any of the credit for you revamping the menu lies with me because of my complaining over the years about the food.
Just say yes, no. Let's not. Just say
and you
yes.
know,
even if it's not true.
And I'm the only one that gives it to you straight, Noam. Because everybody else, they eat a...
I don't remember you complaining about the food except for the burger when we did that burger versus Manetta
burger.
Yes,
the burger
thing.
Credit I give to you.
Because everybody else is like, yeah, bud, it's a good burger. And
yeah,
I'm the only one who
really...
tells it to you straight and says this burger is not what it could be. If the chicken is burnt, I tell you this chicken is burnt.
Your
other psycho fans run around talking, oh, boy, this is good chicken.
But that's less about the menu and than the person cooking it, because certain people burn it more.
Yeah, but the burger credit. As a matter of fact, when you complained about the burgers, I went out and took pictures of a bunch of burgers, and we
had the Manetta burger taste test. Remember
air? I sent them to Liz under the caption "Natterman may be right."
Gosh.
So I agree about the burgers.
Those words "Natterman may be right" should be something, a word you should get used to, because that you'll
pretty
find
equivocating, but
you'll find that comes up a lot in life. Natterman may be right.
Look at that hashtag.
There is a chance that Natterman may be right.
I did also want to mention briefly last week, which I thought was a fabulous show. I think I mentioned that.
Mm-hmm.
We did talk briefly about Jon Stewart, and I got a little heated, but because Noam, you weren't here, yeah. Chris. But Noam, once again, you know, this is the same old song that we've heard over and over again, like an old melody. Like an old standard. Well, not just how great he is, how his success was inevitable. Maybe Will wants to speak. Will, you can.
Will,
if you want to sit down, and Emma. The
Emperor Natterman is ready for your for you.
Your input.
Just recapping, you weren't here last week, Emma. Welcome, Emma. You're making your debut on our Comedy Sellers show.
Hi, Emma. I haven't met you actually yet, but
this will be good.
I saw her perform last week, and I just got back from Maine.
Emma, by the way, is very, very funny.
Thank you, Will.
All right. Well, we'll get to all that. I just want to recap last week. Noam said, and he said it many, many times, and I always explode when he says it because it's so absurd. And because it implies certain things about the rest of us, that Jon Stewart's success was inevitable. You couldn't deny him. He was just that brilliant and that talented.
You react to Jon Stewart like Juanita reacts to Fran, like when I mentioned Fran. It's totally predictable, and I can use it whenever I want.
Well, yes, you can.
Doesn't mean you should.
but I think that...
And the show gets a little boring, and I want Natterman to have an outburst. I just mentioned Jon Stewart.
But you did say, you mentioned last week, and I didn't have a good response to it at the time, because you caught me by surprise, but you said, well, if Jon Stewart wasn't so brilliantly, inevitably, explosively, unbelievably, undeniably talented, how come he's so hard to replace on The Daily Show? Mm. You mentioned that. And my response to you is, first of all, that he got The Daily Show was in a way lucky because that particular type of show was on the air at the time, and Kilbourne, I guess, did he quit or wasn't doing the job? Whatever it was, there was an opening. But I would add to that yes, they did find a show that he was perfect for, in the same way that it would be impossible to replace Damone from Fast Times in Ridgemont High. You would agree.
This is the argument that took you a week to cook up Damone. I don't even remember Damone from Fast Times at Ridgemont.
Well, suffice it to say, there's no movie without Damone.
Is he the one who sold tickets?
What about Cliff Clavin? Replace him as the mailman on Cheers. Probably would have been difficult to do. Doesn't mean Cliff Clavin is the inevitable talent. They found a venue.
Replace Cliff Clavin.
The point is, they found a venue where Jon Stewart shone. Shined. You probably could find a venue where I would shine. And then everybody would say, oh my God, where's he been all our lives?
Is there a backstory with this where you don't like...
I have no problem with Jon Stewart. Oh. In fact, somebody tweeted today, Dan Natterman, because apparently Artie Lang mentioned I don't like Jon Stewart on his podcast. No, I never said I don't like Jon Stewart. I said Jon Stewart.
You think he's overrated?
I simply said his success was not inevitable. His talent was not undeniable.
Burning bridges since
so you don't think
85.
He would have found another thing to plug himself into?
He had done some stuff in large measure because he was sort of a darling of the industry at that time.
Sure.
It didn't, nothing worked incredibly well. And he was at that time sort of in a low moment in his career, and The Daily Show came along, and it could have easily not come along.
All right, I want to say something. This may seem overwrought, but I swear to God, I think about this all the time with reference to Donald Trump. Mm. You hear all these people who know Donald Trump or who knew him when they worked with him, and they come out and say, well, you know, he said this when we were younger, or he wrote when we were writing a book, and they always sound so terrible. And I always say to myself, you know, I've heard my own friends a half an hour after I've uttered something tell somebody what I said and spin it to something I never said and never meant. How can I trust something that somebody with a grudge against Trump says that he said 20 years ago? I never said Jon Stewart was inevitable.
You said everybody knew. Go listen to last week's show. It's all on tape.
There is some grain of
you
truth to what he's saying.
Everybody knew that he was going to make it, which implies inevitability.
Then you know what? Just say what I said. Don't say what it implies to you as if that's what I said, okay? Because that's what people always do.
He said everybody knew. Does that to anybody not imply?
But could anybody
language of those words, everybody knew.
Could anybody not be any more inevitable, though? Like, is there someone that could have been more inevitable than him? Because it's got to be plugged into the right opportunity, and then they need to shine.
Lewis Black, nobody looked at him, and he was fucking 50 years old on death's door, and then all of a sudden he exploded. You know,
let me tell you what I remember.
If it's so inevitable, it wouldn't take forever.
Let me tell you what I remember.
But that's an inevitable. It inevitably happened. It's not inevitable.
But I don't believe that
hour.
It is inevitable.
I believe
it's a lot of, you know, if Jon Stewart, for example, getting back to Lewis Black, had not put Lewis Black on The Daily Show at that time.
Are we going to talk about Lewis Black now?
No, but Lewis Black's another... No, we're not.
Remember was that somebody at the table said that these talents are only recognizable in retrospect.
I believe you said that.
No, that looking back...
Russman Eve said that everybody works backwards, and when somebody succeeds, they say, oh, well, it's clear why he succeeded.
Right.
And when somebody fails, they say, well, I know why they failed.
And what I said was That's true with some people. However, there have been a few people in my recollection who were, who everybody expected were going to hit it big. That they just had this thing about them that everybody...
It factor.
They had the it factor, exactly. And one of them actually didn't actually hit.
I was going to ask, have you seen people where then they you were convinced and then it didn't pop off?
There was one, I don't want to say that, there was one guy who everybody was convinced, and he did have some close calls with it, but he didn't actually hit it big.
He was still around?
He was handsome. He was beautiful. And let me tell you, he was nobody knows the Godfather. But Jon Stewart, from the first day that he walked in, when he was busboy at Panchito's, I remember Bill Grunfest said, this guy is going to be famous.
Bill Grunfest may have said that about other people, too. I didn't know Bill Grunfest.
He didn't say that. And then to bolster my point about how this was, people kept giving him chances. Even after he flopped at this and flopped at that. Well,
maybe that's why he succeeded, because the industry tends to give people chances again and again.
They might believe in them for a reason.
Sometimes they believe in him just because
now, I never said
they
he was
believe in them.
I never said he was inevitable, because I actually had said there was one guy who we thought was going to, who didn't make it. What I'm saying was that it's not just like you could take anybody and make them a star.
Right.
There are at any given time working on something, okay.
But many people.
If you ask me to pick the top
and the work though, you got to do the work.
If you ask me to pick the top 10 most likely people working here today that are going to be famous, I could pick 10 for you, and let's say
7 or 8.
Let's say 7 of them will hit it big. Let's say 70% of them will hit it big. Of the ones I don't pick, 10% might hit it big. The ones, very, very seldom, there are exceptions, the ones who hit it big were like, oh my God, we never saw that coming. They usually were noteworthy.
Oftentimes it's because they were getting stuff. As you mentioned, they kept giving Jon Stewart shit. Even if it didn't work, they give him something else. Oftentimes that's what happens. They just invest in somebody.
Then once they convince
themselves that this, they don't want to admit they were wrong, and then they keep pushing the person. Eventually they will... They will explode.
Let me tell you, Jon was handsome. Jon was very, very quick-witted. Jon was self-assured. Jon was killing as a stand-up comic. He was different.
And he has like a clean kind of vibe.
Was he easy to work with?
You said they kept giving Jon Stewart stuff?
He wasn't
like,
hard
what
to work
other
with
stuff
with
he had?
Well, it was an MTV Channel 9 show. He had done some movies.
He was a morning anchor on that.
That's the thing with comics. They keep giving you stuff until you find your niche.
But you're supporting what I'm saying.
Listen, the last guy that I went on record about. The last guy I went on record about and Dan went crazy was Michael Che. I saw Michael Che the first few times I saw him. I said, this guy's going to be a star.
I didn't go crazy.
No, you didn't like it one bit. And
he was probably already being pursued. By certain people.
Well, he might have been, but I wasn't aware of that. I saw this guy. I said, this guy looks like a juggernaut. Now that's not inevitable, but I'm saying, look at him. He's handsome. He's got, like you say, his material was really, really funny and not derivative of anybody else.
I will say that people.
What'd you say?
Not threatening.
No, I didn't say. I find him threatening. I wouldn't want to run into him late at night.
Will has something to say, and then
I'm talking. I wouldn't want to run into Michael Che late at night with that Knicks jersey he wears. But go ahead.
It's a good thing we waited for that comment.
The reason why they keep giving Jon Stewart or people like him stuff is because he is really good or smart,
and they're trying to figure out what.
Because it's like when someone's really good, it's like, okay, what can we do?
Maybe.
Okay, this
can
not
you
it.
Let him talk, Dan?
Do you resent him? Sorry.
Okay, try this. This not it. Okay, this. So you keep trying, because obviously the person is intelligent. They are comedic genius, and not all comedic geniuses, everything is for them. You know, some people, sitcom. Some people it's a talk show.
So they have
to figure out what it is that we could do, because they believe in him. Because if you listen to his comedy, it's unquestionable that he's a genius. And then you just have to figure out what is it that
it's not unquestionable. But
and
I would like
luck
to
in that. There is
move,
luck in
move.
That. In people,
I would like to move on if I could, unless anybody has more to say about this. We, you know, is that okay?
Of course it's okay. It's just
well, because we could do this all hour.
I really want to.
And because
do
I'm getting
this,
agitated.
Well, because I want to do the same conversation in like 5 years after you're famous.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
You better
hope
I don't become famous.
Because you're the whole gonna, conversation will
there's
be
a lot of people
yes,
are going to
totally
say,
different.
A lot
it's
of people
inevitable.
Are going to no. If I ever became famous, it's very doubtful at this point.
First of all, you won't do at the
podcast.
This,
you got to self-actualize positivity.
At this age. I will blow the lid off the whole fucking edifice of show business. I will come on and I will say, look, this is all BS. And that's it. And you're all suckers.
That could now, be the name of your special.
If we can move on.
You're all suckers.
Welcome, Emma Willman. You're making your debut here
Thank
on
you.
Our humble podcast.
It's a radio show.
And radio show. Well, it's both.
Crazy show.
And we're going to get also, obviously, to Will later. We're going to discuss. He's got some stuff cooking. But
go ahead, Dan.
I know that Emma has to be has to leave us. So where you got something coming up tonight?
I was supposed to do an 8:15 at Stand Up New York, but it would have squished in too much with something at 8:40. So
you're with us the whole hour?
Sure.
If you want
to be. Whatever works. I wasn't trying to do that, but I don't have
well,
something.
Well, if you want to be. Okay. Because admittedly, I know you were scheduled till 8:40.
You cancel Stand Up New York, you're welcome.
Emma is from Maine, as you noted. And Emma's from Maine. She doesn't talk like the Pepperidge Farm guy.
Thank you.
But I guess that's stereotype that is not accurate.
People do think I have an accent, though. Whenever I go on a commercial audition, they always say, oh, are you from a small town?
You
which
sound
is not
like
a good
Michelle
thing.
Wolf.
I was just going to say
yeah,
that.
She does.
Yeah.
What? Yeah. Michelle, I don't
really?
know if we can.
Really?
With a squeaky voice?
No.
Oh, she sure does. She
really?
Sure does.
Huh.
I don't
it's
know
not
how
as
that happened.
Michelle Wolf has a little, yeah. It's
is
a
your town
more
a chocolate? Are you from a chocolate town as well? Maybe that's a.
No, I'm
she's
from
Hershey, Pennsylvania.
No, this is like rural Maine, Blue Hill up near Bar Harbor. Where were you, Norm?
We were.
No,
in,
not Norm.
We were in Kennebunk. It's okay.
Kennebunkport's beautiful. Oh.
Yeah,
yeah.
And but also I spent time in Waterville.
Yep.
And Franklin.
Waterville's really nice.
Beautiful. I never go back.
I was in Maine once. I bombing at I believe it was Bates College.
Oh my God!
Bates, yeah.
Was it Bates? Is that in Lewisboro or something?
Yes, Lewiston. I did a show at Bates, and then one of the worst shows of my entire life was at University of Maine Orno. They had me come down and another comic from New York.
University of Maine Orno? I would say yes.
Orno, yes. Okay. University of Maine Orno, and they forgot it was a comedy night. They're like, no, this is flamenco dancing, and they ended up having me and the comic just do a show in a rec room with no microphone, no heat, brutal.
Oh,
my
God.
Family came out because it was right near where we live.
And speaking of coming out, that's a rough transition. No?
Yeah.
But you are.
Are you about to make an announcement?
No, I'm about to make an announcement. The announcement being that Emma Willman is a proud gay American.
Well, is that still noteworthy in this day and age? Do we really have
but
to talk?
But thank you for saying correction. Gay, I hate the
correction.
Word lesbian.
Oh.
Yeah, what's correction?
I do have some questions.
Will was about to say correction lesbian.
I do have some questions about the whole lesbian thing.
Yeah, you can
ahead.
Ask me anything. But I also recently, I mean, I don't know if I don't know what's been going on recently, but I've been feeling so uncomfortable with that L word because it's so like gendered. And then in relationships recently, like I've had a hard time connecting with lesbians because I almost like to like express myself sexually as a guy. Almost, it's gotten them.
Oh,
be a
this
mess.
Is interesting. What do you mean
yeah.
by that?
Like I think I'm not often having gender identity issues, but I can't. Every time I've been trying to have a relationship with a lesbian that wants me to see me as a woman, I can't get into it. So now it's like I only can be with people that like it started where I was with people that were I could like role play me being a guy, but then now it's like almost I have to do it all the time.
Do you know that no means no though?
No, fuck.
Because guys
lesson
have trouble
number
with that.
Yeah, the only way you can really be a guy.
You
yeah,
can't be a guy
right.
unless you no. You don't
rule
understand
number one.
No means maybe.
No means maybe.
So
yeah.
So you're saying you identify? Now I'm a little confused.
Well, I identify as a woman, but I hate saying that I'm a lesbian because I don't connect well with lesbians because it just doesn't. I don't know, man. It's a mess.
Well, who do you connect well with?
You know, I connect well with straight guys. Most of my friends are straight guys.
But not sexually.
Not sexually, no. Not sexually.
All right, well, there goes
no,
that.
I am gay.
Yeah.
Ew.
I don't know what's
straight
going
guys.
On. Straight guys. No, I love straight guys. Like, when I watch porn, I watch straight porn, and I want the guy to be in the porn.
Interesting.
And you see yourself as the guy.
Yeah.
I feel like if I were gay, that's how I'd be.
You think?
I think that's how you are straight. I really do.
Maybe
it's
that's
so
why.
Complicated. My mom sent me an email the other day, and the subject of the email was email. I'm like, thanks, Mom. She thinks I'm an idiot. I was like, I see where you're going with this. I texted her LOL. She wrote back, Lando Lakes. I'm like, whatever. Whatever. She is very liberal. Have you guys ever met those people that are like so liberal it makes you want to be more conservative? Like, it just, like, recycle, recycle, healthcare for kittens. How can we get an avocado into Congress? She's just blaming things on Republicans you can't blame on human beings. It is freezing out. Fucking Reagan, I swear to God. I hate Reagan. She hates Reagan. loves Obama. Oh my God. She's obsessed. Have you heard about the change we can believe in? He's here. Ay, ay, ay. She picked my name. So my name's Emma Willman, and that's fine. But if I say it too fast, it sounds like I've said, I'm a woman. I don't know if you guys caught that. Emma Willman sounds like I'm a woman. Fine, except for because of how I look. I'm meeting people, and they're like, yeah, it's cool. I was pretty sure. That's good. What are the chances of that? And then probably my favorite thing after shows is when people tell me they love Ellen. Yeah, that's great. Like, hey, I love Ellen. I'm like, cool, me fucking too. Who doesn't love Ellen? People will even ask, though. They'll be like, so you must hate Ellen. I'm like, of course I don't hate Ellen. I'm not a sociopath. Like, no one, if someone hates Ellen, that's a big red flag, right? But also, I'm not looking like this because I love Ellen. This isn't like my big tribute to Ellen. It's not like, you know what I mean? It's not like, oh, before I got into comedy, yeah, I was a small black man. So, yeah, this is just my big shebang. When I first started, I did this interview, and the girl goes, I was doing comedy about a year. The interview took place at a Denny's, and I say this for a reason, because she looks at me, and it just like stinks like Denny's, and she goes, how are you and Ellen different? Like, what's the main difference? I was like, well, I just did a show at a gas station in New Jersey, and now we're at a Denny's, so I guess mainstream success, you fucking cunt. Are you kidding me?
Dan, you have any lesbian questions? Because I have a bunch.
Yeah, you
well,
can ask me anything.
But if you do ask some lesbian questions, try not to be the questions that are typically asked all the time. Like, you know, how do you decide who, you know, is the man or who is the woman? I try to be a little
nuanced.
Well,
I think she already answered that question.
Boom.
So.
And also, the strap-on questions are hacky at this point. So
oh, you can ask me anything about that, though. They're hacky.
Why are they hacky?
I don't know. Hasn't that been beaten to death?
Well, not to her.
You can ask me anything.
It's like saying intercourse is to hacky. I mean, these are always titillating questions.
All right, I would just suggest if you.
I had a straight friend who uses her boyfriend wanted her to use a strap on in him, and then she would like fuck him in the ass. Does that mean
you have a straight friend with a gay boyfriend?
Yeah.
No, I mean he could just be submissive. I don't think that necessarily makes you gay.
Right.
He certainly could be, but he could also just be submissive.
And they've been together for like 7. Yeah, that's what I was thinking too.
Submissive.
Because it's all about who's doing it. So I don't know.
I don't know. So here's my question.
Anything, Norm.
All right, no, I'm going.
So, in my experience, now yes. I don't want to offend you or start a lawsuit here, but
you will. Go ahead.
In my experience in the sexual world, sure. I have noticed that some women appear to be lesbians, and knowing them even in high school, it was clear they were lesbians. Mm-hmm. And
where did you go to high school at?
In Ardsley High School in New York.
Nice.
Like, I just remember, like, the girls, I see them on Facebook, and they're lesbians. I'm like, oh, yeah, of course.
You went to,
like,
yeah, right. She
went to Melissa Etheridge High.
It was totally clear.
Right.
And I'm sure they were had no interest in
they
guys
were, like,
even then.
Kind of dykey looking.
But then, that's right. But then, or even just, whatever. Yeah. But then there's a huge number of women. They were straight.
Right.
They were, they loved dick. They want and
but see, I like girls that like still love that.
Right, but my question
they have
is
to be queer.
But often they weren't very attractive.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Often they had bad luck with men.
Sure.
They couldn't find love, whatever it is. And then they wake up one day and say, no, I'm a lesbian and I'm getting married.
Yeah. See,
what is up with that?
I don't know what's up with that. And I don't really know how that works because I feel like, you know, there's been times where I'm so frustrated. You know, you get so frustrated with people you date and you have these awful experiences. And you're like, fuck this. I hate them. I want to switch over everything. But I don't know if you can just re-hardwire yourself like that. I don't know. I think that'd be so hard because, you know, like lust and physical stuff. I don't know why I'm looking at Dan so much when I'm saying this. It's like it
he's the most feminine one at the table.
Yes, yes.
Sorry to me.
I'm looking around at the table.
He's assessing.
And you might be onto something.
But
I do cross my legs. I will say, however,
I appreciate that.
That I have a very physically pleasing physique.
Sure.
Certainly. More so than most men of my
I think that
vintage.
You being able to pick up on people's sexuality also ties into be able to pick up people who have it factor, because I think there's something similar to that, because it's like a kind of intuition, you know
I
what
agree.
I mean?
So you don't reject my premise?
No, I have no idea how it works, though, because I really don't understand how you could re-hardwire.
Because
your,
they're probably
you know?
Let me say the last thing. They're bisexual, and
but with men,
it's easier to be.
I have never seen
that,
a man, even a fat man, even a guy who is a 40-year-old virgin, they never turn
gay. Well, I'll tell you what it is.
Or what?
You want the answer to the question? It's many women are bisexual anyway. And it just, and if they have extra motivation to be with a woman because they can't get a man, then it's easy.
Or it's a more comfortable environment for them.
Well, check this out. I think mostly in America, they make it okay for women to be on women mm-hmm. on women. Women always kiss each other. They greet each other. They see each other naked. They compliment each other's body parts. So it's an easy transition when they want to walk that line. Like, you know, right. like, and it's, there's nothing being penetrated. So it's like, when they touch themselves, anybody could touch them. Oh, go ahead, girl, touch it.
No, but they do a lot of penetrating.
No, I'm talking about like lesbian, how women could easily wake up and be, hey, I'm a lesbian.
Yeah, but they penetrate, Will. Don't you know that?
I do all kinds of penetrating, all the penetrating.
That's if they put something on.
Yeah, but it's a lot of penetrating.
Yeah, but I'm talking about sometimes y'all be rubbing your circles.
But don't you people do that in straight sex?
Can you point your that phallus to your mouth a little bit?
Yeah, yeah, thank you.
I mean it.
Not sexually?
No, not sexually.
I thought that was like part of the thing.
I mean, it's an added bonus, but you need to talk right into the mic. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I think like you see it in TV, you see it in even commercials. Women, you know, always like, you know, hugging each other. Women power.
Right.
So it's an easy. So when women wake up gay, it was not that far fetched.
But I think that it's about.
If a dude wake up gay, it's like, dude, what happened?
I think it's about who you get nervous around. Like, if you get nervous around someone, then that's like more of an indicator of how you feel for them.
Wait,
like,
what do you mean nervous around?
Like, I remember when I was in high school, like I would have these boyfriends, but I would never be like, oh my God, what does Jake think of this? Or what is that? Or who, Tony? I would never get nervous. Like, I had guy friends where I'm like, oh, I can't wait to see blah, blah, blah. And I'd be excited, but I'd never be like, oh, I hope they think I look good, or I don't want to sound stupid in front of them. I will get that for sure if it's someone, a guy who I like really respect or whatever it is, but it's not like a sexual nerves. So then if it's a girl, I'm like, oh, I wonder what she thinks, or I'll get nervous. Does that make sense? Like, I'll get a crush.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You, there's no men that you would ever want to have sex with?
Here's how I would have sex with a guy.
Uh-oh. She'd
have to be
voice.
Like this. It'd have to be like, they'd have to be like really little.
Little what?
Little guy.
I'm little.
Little, like little, little.
I'm little, little.
Very petite.
Not today.
Go ahead.
So they'd have to be real little, but I'd want them to like, they'd have to, then I would role play that I was a guy. And then they'd have to call me daddy or something. They'd have to be like really little and wear a skirt, and they'd have to just get like bent over in some kind of contraption where I would just see their ass.
I'm not going
to
say.
You want a gay dude.
And then there'd have to be like videos of women like orgasming all around, and then I would just like.
I'm not going to say no out of hand. I have to think about
crazy?
Yeah, that is really crap.
Dan,
I have a fantasy.
Dan is considering
I don't even
that.
Think that's
fantasy.
Something I'd want.
I have a fantasy that's pretty weird, and I think I've mentioned it.
But it's
it.
Not really a sexual fantasy. Just that's how I could see it.
Oh, that's what you could do. But
maybe I'll fall in love with a guy. I have no idea.
Is there now of all the comics you had to have sex with
but
one
I do
of them?
Love. I do have lots of guy friends where I'm like, I love that guy.
If you had to have sex with one of the male comics you work with here at the Comedy Cellar.
Oh man.
And then who would it be?
You know who I love, but I could never ever would never have sex. I mean, I love Dan Soder.
I knew you were going to say Dan Soder. Because,
I love Dan Soder. Because
Antoinette Cataldi, I think.
But I don't know if it's more like I'd want to be, if I had to be one of the guys, Dan Soder. Because I love Dan Soder.
Antoinette Cataldi, I think, said she would have sex. Didn't she? Or am I telling?
Have sex with Dan Soder?
But Dan
there's
Soder,
another lesbian
Dan
that
Soder's
said that.
Dan Soder's, oh man, that's not to defend. Dan Soder's like a guy. He's totally, he's
a
like
guy's
a straight
guy.
As straight.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Those are the gayest ones.
So, yeah. So you had penis before?
I had sex with one guy in high school, but it wasn't for me.
What to me? What?
But it didn't feel right. Like the
it
whole
wasn't
time
for her,
it wasn't for me. Like the whole time I was like, this just doesn't feel right. I never wanted to hold his hand. I didn't like it well.
Well, if a guy's down there.
So he wasn't wet.
I was really drunk.
Dry
I was like,
as a
get
bone.
Me out
dry
of here.
As a bone.
But even when I've been with women that I don't like.
Dry as the turkey
still,
burger here at the Comedy Store.
I was still more into the women than, because that's just where it like lines up. You know what I mean? Like I bet a guy could go down on you and you could maybe get hard.
No.
So same, you know, same flip side.
So you're saying if
that.
A guy is downtown,
it would just never happen.
Down or midtown, really,
never happen.
And he's doing a fabulous job in terms of the mechanics of it.
But a guy could be going down, and you doing a fabulous job as a mechanic on him. Like, what the fuck is this
I
guy
understand.
Doing down
I
here?
I understand that. From me, I agree with you. In my case, I'm asking. In your case, a guy's down there. He's doing everything right technically.
It wouldn't.
Your eyes are closed.
I'd be like, what are you doing? It's a gender energy thing, too. Like, I'd be like, why
that's,
are
but
you?
That's for straight women, too.
I understand.
If I had, like, a disgusting guy, I'd be like,
what
ugh.
About a girl go down on you? She's doing a good job. Turn the lights off. She's still going down on you. Turn the lights on. It's a dude. They swap.
If it was like a female, if it was a male to female and she was like smoking hot, maybe I'd like flip her over and like fuck her.
What's smoking hot? Christian
like
hot?
Like smoking hot. Like I'm smoking.
Like porn.
What is your type, your ideal female
like
type?
Like, really, like,
I saw you with a young lady the other day. Was that, is that a love interest or just a friend?
Who, where'd you see me?
What's it, like a dark-haired girl? Here at the cellar. She was a dark-haired girl. Oh, looked sort of Jewish-looking, but maybe she wasn't.
Yes. I had my friend who's a I had my ex, Daniela, came by to the Village Underground.
I think that was her, yeah.
We went to a few places. we went by a few places. Did she look kind of Italian, maybe?
Well, I thought Jewish, but Italian, sure.
I don't think it was the Jewish one.
Dan's just trying to figure out if he can make a move.
What's your time?
No. I dated Shatima from the Laugh Lounge for a while. Remember her? Shatima,
that's a black girl, clearly.
She looked like a black Barbie, kind of.
Oh, yeah. She's
like
hot.
Like 6 months. That's what I'm saying.
So what comic that we all know that would be your ideal type for the woman, on the woman's side?
I couldn't. Just the act of doing stand-up is too, like, masculine.
You know, I think that, too. And
yeah,
a lot of male
fans,
you know, that's interesting you say that, because a lot of male comics are of that mind, that there's something very masculine about stand-up comedy, and therefore, we've discussed this several times, male stand-up comics don't seem to be as into female stand-up comics as female stand-up comics are into male stand-up.
Well, first of all, there are fewer.
Right. Was that crazy, too, what I said about the way I would have sex with a guy? It's just the only way I could process it.
First of all,
It's your right.
But I don't even want that.
It's your feeling.
Yeah.
Well, you just said you...
Could you guys... Is that how you would ever, if you had to do that?
A man?
Or if you, like, had to do it?
If I was forced to do it?
Where you, like, had to do it, wouldn't you want, like, a real...
First of all, doing it and taking it are two different things.
Right.
Men, so.
If I had to do it with a man, it would have to be... A very feminine man. If I had no choice, I guess it would have to be a young Jude Law.
If I had to, it had to be a very feminine man.
Yeah, Jude Law.
He has to look like a girl.
Yes.
Or maybe Sean Cassidy in the Do Run Run era. I bring that up because I just saw a YouTube video of him singing the Do Run Run, and boy, was he gorgeous. I mean, he was like a chick.
I'd go with like a alpha male black guy.
Really?
You're so fucking such a liar.
If I had to, at least
that's amazing.
I couldn't do it.
You go like an Asian boy.
Yeah, well, just go all the way different.
Well, sure, for the prestige of it.
Right.
I mean, if I'm gonna do it, I might as well get the full experience.
Good for you.
I have my fantasy, as I think I've addressed this on a previous show, is I would love to experience being a gorgeous woman for about a month.
A month?
Well, or 2-6 months, whatever it is.
Wow.
Like a super smoking
with an option to renew.
A super smoking hot, like Adriana Lima.
You
want
to do that just so you could, like, say no to
that. No. You're not listening. Or you're not letting me finish. Like Adriana Lima level.
Yeah,
and then what I would do is I would just wreak havoc with every chick in town.
Would you seduce Jon Stewart?
No, I wouldn't seduce. Thank you for the callback. you apparently nobody's listening to me. I'm not going to fuck any dudes. I'm going to have sex with women as a woman. And seduce women as a woman.
Do you think you'd have better luck as a hot woman women than you do as a man?
I certainly do.
Hold on.
Well, certainly
why don't you come back as Brad Pitt and have hot...
Yeah, exactly.
Because I think it would be fun. That would be fine. But I think it would be fun to just tell, you know, to just go after women as a woman. I've never done that. And I think it'd be fun to just experience that. And I think it'd be also fun to see if I can convert how many women I could convert.
How do you
think
go
you
after
could
women
convert.
Now?
Huh?
How do you go after women now?
I usually send emojis on Facebook, and they either block me or defriend me, or they go out with me.
But this also just proves like you have no concept of how women work.
If I were a woman, it's easy as pie when you're a woman. You just say you're so beautiful. Oh my God.
Yeah, but you don't have to be beautiful to do like that's what
it's
you're
gonna
missing.
Help. It's going to help.
You're missing
though.
It.
But
no,
I think to convert, I think to convert straight women, I think if you're smoking hot, it would be very helpful.
But no. They might not like other... who knows? Well, you probably do very well with women, right?
Are you kidding? This guy hasn't had sex in 6 years.
Really?
I was about to say, I wish I was a smoking hot dude for a month.
What?
To see what it's like.
Well, that's fine, too. I wouldn't mind that either. But, I would think it'd be more interesting to be a smoking hot woman.
Like a smoking hot dude.
Yeah.
Really?
He probably has.
Huh? Can you show her the picture?
You have a giant penis?
Show her the picture. She needs to...
Is that like an inconvenience? But good for you. And you're nice. And funny.
Show the picture.
Workout.
I have a feeling he's not too nice when he's wielding that penis.
Yeah.
Well, you can't blame all the blood of it.
And you used to be overweight, so I feel like that probably gives you a sensitivity to people.
I was 220.
Damn.
Well, I don't ever remember you being overweight.
I'll show you the picture.
Show the penis first.
Is it a hard penis?
No.
It doesn't even matter.
It doesn't.
Really? Like,
as long as
doesn't
out.
Matter.
So is that like a problem with dating? Like women can't take it?
No. Okay, can I tell you
show the picture first.
Show the picture.
It always has to come down to Will's penis.
Can we talk about Will's other stuff?
We could talk about anything. Well, after I haven't seen the picture in a while. I want to see it.
Well, I don't find it. Okay.
Let's be honest. But, I think he's
showing it for
me. He has to use two screens to show you the whole width.
There's a...
Whoa, holy shit. Oh, my God. That is crazy. Why is your penis so big?
It's, I don't know.
That is insane.
It's not that big.
Doesn't it look like a photograph?
That is huge.
Look at his face, too. Like,
that is weird.
Emma, can't you picture that as a photograph to raise money for an affliction?
Yeah.
Like these poor, penis...
That's
giant
his face
penis,
in every picture.
This poor giant penis tribe in Haiti. They need money for an operation, so they
good
can,
for you. Yeah.
The face is that is huge.
That is huge.
Well, yeah. it's a fine fine penis.
It's not about penis.
You know, I don't.
That is huge.
It's about how you treat a girl.
Mm. Oh God.
It's about can you cook? I could cook.
Oh, can you?
So why are you having a problem? But you don't. I think you'd be good with women.
I don't have a problem.
Yeah.
With
I thought you'd be
it's
great.
It's a self-imposed.
Well, it may be somewhat self-imposed. But
well, the comedy
entirely.
Schedule is hard.
Oh, no. Please.
No?
No, I just wanted to have control over these things that control me.
Mm.
Like my eating when I was 220, procrastination, playing video games, having random sex. I mean, sex with random women, random sex.
Even when you were that big, you were still hooking up?
Yeah, yeah.
Because of that penis?
No. Oh, this is what I was going to say.
And the charm.
This is what I was going to say. I was a virgin until I was 24, right? That's when I was 220. I was a virgin until I was...
Let me say when you were five.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. That's so funny.
Hey, yes, go ahead. You were a virgin until 24.
I was a virgin until 24. So I used to lie on my penis all the time. So my friend Dwayne in college...
Because your penis was so big, it could reach out way past your belly.
Will, that's you were. I've never seen that picture. You were really fat.
I was big, yeah.
He looks like William Stevenson.
That's amazing.
So my friend Dwayne told me, hey, when a girl tells you you have a big penis, that's their way of saying that it's really small. Because they trying to get stuff out of you. Women are always trying to get, whether it's money or whatever.
But can't the guy know?
I'm just telling you. I didn't know nothing about women.
Don't take this guy's advice.
He said that if they tell you you got a small penis, that their logic is... What was the logic?
You got a small penis.
they got to go.
You'll overcompensate or something?
No, you really have a big penis because they don't want to... They feel like men always have big egos. They try to have sex with a lot.
Well,
I'm just telling you what he told me. I took his advice. And so when women was like, oh my God, it's a big penis. Like, oh shit, here we go again. I got small.
You had no idea. Yet. It was like Marilyn Munster.
You had never...
She didn't know she was pretty.
Had never seen another man's penis?
I never... No, not live.
What you growing up? You're not in school in the locker room or nothing.
I was in public school. I never changed.
Saw another man's penis.
Me.
That's weird.
That is weird.
Why is that weird?
Didn't you have brothers and stuff?
Yeah, my brothers. Yeah, I saw their penis.
But they all have big penises.
They were all humongous.
Yeah.
That is a huge penis.
It's okay.
You should be really proud of yourself.
Well, you know,
I wouldn't want it.
You wouldn't?
Why?
No, because it's too big.
Huge.
Too big.
It's a responsibility.
I want a penis which is just the size that a woman wants. I don't think a woman wants that huge penis. I think she wants a little bit more anatomically manageable than that. For instance, if she's on top of you, she can't go all the way down.
Well, that stops them. It controls
them.
They always flip over.
You're gonna hit bottom. So that's all right. Ideally, it would stop a millimeter before whatever it is, whatever that part of the body is. What is it? Ovaries? Whatever it is. That's
whatever. Well, I get them doing this a lot.
That would be, that's how long my penis
would
be.
Right. A millimeter before the lungs.
I get them doing this a lot instead.
Do
they get addicted to it? Or are they like, oh, once they want that, then that's what they want all the time?
Normal.
I would be so interested. Do you know what the ideal size penis women want is?
It's different for every woman.
Yeah, I would imagine the size of Kristen's husband's penis.
Yeah.
You're on the radio, dear.
Hello. Yes. Yeah. Huge penis.
No, that's it. And I wouldn't want that. And in terms of girth, I would want it, you know, just, but that's it. Like, no more than that. Like I want the reaction, but then I don't want, take it out, take it out. And I don't want, well, I'm not ready. Like, I want it to be just like, make her feel like a woman. That's it. No, doesn't need to be any bigger than
that's
that.
That's very sweet of you.
Yeah, yeah. That's what it should be.
What
yeah.
size is that?
It's around probably like 7 inches by
7 inches is average.
That's what I'm saying.
I think that's why it's average.
I don't know. I'm like not sure if that's why it's average. I'm saying that's, I think, the probably the best. 7 inches is an average.
7 inches
is
slightly above
average. 7 inches is average in Haiti, but 7 inches is not average enough.
7 inches, I think,
in
six.
In Williamsburg.
I think, to be honest, so size does not matter that much.
Really?
It doesn't. But when you get, it's like when you like operate in that heart rate where you're like very focused and then you get to the point where like you can't focus at all. It's right. like that. Like you do get to a point where like it's too big.
Well, there's also a psychological issue when you see something big, it's whether it actually feels better or not. It looks like big tits don't actually do anything that small tits don't do, but they excite you. In a
like
you
it's the nipple sensitivity things. That would excite
me. Emma, I got a question.
Anything.
Do you have different sized dildos?
Yeah, I was not like sexually active for a while, so then I just went and got a bunch of new ones. But I've been buying new sex toys with almost every partner because like I was with this like crazy psycho sex worker for a while, and then I felt like all her energy, she like tried to break into my apartment, all this. She did successfully, just nuts.
Break into your apartment?
Yeah, I was with like strippers a lot for a while. Woo.
I would imagine when,
but then it felt bad energy, girls. And then I was with someone in finance, so then like I would just always throw out all the sex toys.
So you use different size dildos for different girls.
Yes, and then I like threw all those out, and then I just started seeing someone new, and I got new stuff.
You threw
well,
away
weird,
all
like,
your
when
dildos.
You're really expensive from like the last person. Too,
yeah, I guess
like,
it is, but because also you know, it was such bad energy.
Why
would
you throw
bring
away? Were they glass or plastic?
It's this company I like called
glass?
Vixen.
What about what about sandalwood?
But I was not sexually active for a while. Like a
teak
year.
Teak is good with the elements.
Nice four micas.
And sex isn't the most important thing. I used to think it was the most important thing. This sounds so fucking stupid, but it really is. I mean, this is, you know, you want to find someone you can talk to.
Okay, wait. I'm going to give you. I'm
sorry.
Hold
on. I had to say it.
Talk about hack.
I'm going to give you four things. You tell me what's most important from one to four. Ready?
Yeah.
One, sex. Sex could be from one to four. One, really good sex. Four, awful sex. Person doesn't care about you if you come or not. Two, respect. When someone respect you, they won't cheat on you. They won't beat you.
That's tough.
They won't beat
it's a long
you.
Long topic.
Three, communication. When you communicate, you can talk about anything, or you guys don't talk about nothing. Then four, career. They're passionate about career. So what's the most important?
Well,
where was it? Career.
I'd say communication,
respect,
sex.
Communication and what?
Sex, respect.
Oh, they're all kind of, those kind of go under the communication umbrella, right?
What? Which one?
Like, because I feel like you can't have good sex without good communication.
That's not true. I met people I could talk to about anything.
And then no good sex.
Sex sucks.
Yeah. Same.
And they didn't work. And
I think I can tell you for sure sex is last and respect is first. I don't know what happens in the middle.
I think you have to respect the cock, tame the cunt. I do want to now. That's from Magnolia.
Maybe that should be the name of your special.
That's from Magnolia, which is a movie
respect
from,
the cock, tame
I
the
think,
cunt.
1998.
Steel Magnolias?
No, Magnolia. But Tom Cruise plays sex guru. Yeah, yeah.
I think sex is the most important of those things.
I think sex is so
what's
important.
What's second? What's two?
Yeah,
wait,
matter.
I'm going to tell you why.
You don't feel
wait,
like,
can
respect.
I just say
desire.
Why sex is not the most important? Sex is not the most important because if you have good communication, you can always have
that's
good
not
sex.
True. No, that's no, not true. No, are you no, kidding no. me?
I was that with someone true. For a year where we had good communication and then we didn't connect sexually. But maybe it's because of the community.
Well, if you don't
this
connect,
is really
that's
a
one
there's
ginormous.
Nothing that makes sex worse than communication. The last thing I want to hear is fucking what I'm doing wrong and how I could do it better.
No, but if you think you're doing something right and you're not, and the person just goes,
but
okay,
I'm saying
I'm just
it's like
but
I don't
it would be
need,
good communication.
I'm not saying during.
Am I doing it better now, honey?
Right.
Is that
I tell you
better?
Right
no,
my,
not during. Not
just
during.
Get me, just give me a new girl.
This
that's
is
all.
My, this is my order. Respect, communication, career, and sex.
Okay, noted.
See, but, let's go
but,
on sex.
But it, when I was
really?
20 years old, that was not my order.
He's right. Mm-hmm.
We change as we get older.
All right, let's talk about Will's new show
let's
coming
talk
up.
About it.
He's got a new show that he's producing. What's it called?
Monday, New Joke Night.
New Joke. I thought it was called New Joke City.
New Joke City. Yes. Good. Thank you, Dan Adam.
Well,
Dan
I stole Adam. That from a show from the Metro Channel that Robert Klein hosted in the 90s. New
like
Joke
the,
City. But you're welcome to use it. I don't think they're using it anymore.
Yeah, New Joke Night, New Joke City. Basically, it is. Comedians, we have nowhere to really work out new stuff. A lot, you know, we try sneaking in between the old jokes. But I wanted just a night dedicated to like just work out new. The crowd is not paying a lot of money to come out and check out these comics. And you know, you might be some gems, might be some blots, but that's the name of the game. And you walk up there, you go bring your entire
might be
notebook.
Some what?
Blops.
Well, you flops.
Flops.
Flops. Oh, flops. Flops. Flops.
Yeah, so you're doing flops. This around the corner at the Fat Black Pussycat?
You're bombing and flopping at the same time.
A bombing and flopping are flops.
Yeah. It's a blob.
Oh, that's great.
And okay. And is the idea that every joke you do is a new joke? And how new is new? The first time you've ever done it?
No. It could be newish. It could be oldish. Or it could be an old joke with a new tag. Old joke with a new tag. It's up to the comic.
So how do people come to
this? The crowd are just knowing that, hey, look, these comics are working on new stuff. Come check it out.
How do you get the crowd? Like, how does someone come see this?
You're saying, why would somebody want to see this?
No, how? What? How do they?
They come to the Fat Black Pussycat Comedy Cellar.
Okay.
Monday nights. August 15th, 8 o'clock, at the Comedy Cellar. Go to comedycellar.com.
I think people would
love
to see that.
It's only $5 to get into.
Do you think, Noam, as a club owner, that this is a winning idea?
I have no idea.
I think it's fun because people know the comics at the Cellar. It's just such a special thing to see that I don't know if any other place could do it, but here could do it. And that room is amazing.
Even if you're working out new stuff, there are going to be gems in there.
But here's the question, Will. I wonder if, and I basically like the idea a great deal, because we do feel a lot of pressure when we're working here at the Cellar to do our best shit and to kill.
You should feel that everywhere you work, but go ahead.
Mm. Well, we feel it everywhere. We especially feel it here. If we're at a club where the audience is light and coming back is not the biggest priority, it will feel less pressure.
Yeah.
Here we'll feel the most because we want to work here so much.
Right.
But I wonder if you're doing all new jokes and the audience is like, you're not getting any momentum. I think sometimes it's working at a new joke requires a few old jokes that kill to get the momentum going.
But this is the thing.
I agree.
The comics should know that. I'm telling comics, listen, dude, do old stuff, mix with new stuff. But we letting the crowd know that, hey, no pressure on, you're going to hear some flip-flops, but just be patient. You're going to hear a diamond's coming up. But the comics know, hey, look, you go up there and do your entirely old jokes if you want. I'm not censoring the comics. It's up to you. You know, but you got to work it out. You got to figure it out. I always say, look, start with something old and then go into new stuff.
Now, Emma, you brought up the point. I think you brought up this point that this would be fun for the audience because they know us. In our normal context, which is doing our old
jokes, they can trust.
And
the
so it
brand.
Might be interesting to see what goes on behind the scenes.
Right.
Yeah.
They can trust the brand, and also they're in that room. It's such an intimate room.
Are you concerned at all about audience? Kind of like I feel like what could happen is they know that that's the premise. They know that you're working out stuff, and now you're going to get audience people going, you know what would make that really funny?
Oh yeah.
Well, they're not allowed to talk. Same way they're not allowed to talk downstairs.
No, like after the show, I feel like it'll just.
I hadn't thought of that. They do that anyway,
they come up to us all the time.
But if now you're giving them kind of a forum.
Well, I'd even be open to that. I think.
No,
a lot of comics wouldn't be.
What are you talking about? After the show?
Yeah, not during. I mean, you don't want to heckle.
Yeah, after the show, but look. Some comics stick around, some comics don't, and the ones that do stick around, they probably like me. They like to meet and greet the crowd. They like to get to know the people.
But I guess my point is do you want the feedback? Like, what's the purpose of the working out?
I can't speak for every comic.
You're just I don't mind.
I could take all type of criticism. You could come up to me and tell me whatever. If you have a feedback, yes, I'll accept any type of feedback. Yes, I can't speak. I can't say that. And put that on all comics. No.
Right. Sure. Especially if they're a fan and if they are into comedy to want to come to a show where they know that you're going to be working stuff out, then they're more likely to be a comedy.
Have you ever got a joke or tag from an audience member?
No, and I wouldn't use it. But I'm unusual in that regard, in many regards, but in this regard in particular, that I don't like to take tags from other people. I generally the pride of ownership for me is so much part of the joy of doing
it. What about when the comic offers you a tag?
I mean, if it's super duper out of sight, I might. You know, if it's really, really super like far out, but you know, real groovy. But if it's generally, I don't feel the same charge in the pride of ownership that I get when it's my joke, and I wrote it. If I kill with something, somebody else came up with it. It doesn't provide me with the same joy.
It's not that someone else came up with it, but you inspired them to come up with this tag.
I understand that, but still, it's not the same thing for me. I don't like to if I can avoid it. If somebody comes up. A joke with me that's just really, really, you know, just...
No, he's not coming on the show. He's just threatening. Michael Che's walking in.
Oh. Oh.
You ever got a tag or a joke from an audience member?
You know what? Yes, actually, I did.
Hey, Michael.
The other day.
Will you be doing our new joke show, Michael?
Hi.
This is Michael Che from the Saturday Night Live. You don't have to be on our show, but we're just talking about... I don't want Michael to feel... obligated.
Sat down.
I understand.
Let's just say, I just want to say, I was very honored and to be invited to Michael Che's 1 hour special at Greenpoint, Brooklyn.
Great show,
and he was just saying nice things about you, just unsolicited.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Oh shit.
And he was fantastic.
Awesome.
It was really
thank
good.
You.
I saw the first show. And he had some headwinds, like they had the sound was a little
the sound was
a little sketchy.
Crazy. They like, well, it wasn't a venue. It was like it's just a warehouse, a completely empty warehouse.
Did you pick out?
Yeah, nice. I picked it out, and we just built the stage and everything. So
cool.
Sound was a little tricky, but the second show it felt like it came together.
Mike,
a little bit
will
better.
You be?
But can I just say something? And I saw in you something I've seen, and I've seen it in musicians as well, and it always amazes me. I like when you're a I see musicians sometimes the sound isn't good or the guitar is not sounding right, and they can just play every bit as well.
Sure.
It doesn't seem to phase them. We're like,
yep.
You. I mean, I was watching them, like, and I know you had to be aware of certain things. It didn't phase you in the least. That show was perfect.
That's a pro move.
Thank you, man.
And I don't know how you can focus, but like, were you thinking at the time? Were you worried about it at the time?
You know, like you guys know, like you're just calibrating the whole time. So like you listen to the laptop. So with a big warehouse like that, the laps go straight up and then they just disappear. Mm. And so it feels like you're bombing because you're just like ha, like that's the
right.
laugh. Like it doesn't. There's no rolling. There's no momentum. It's not bouncing back.
But
you
wanted that.
I didn't want that, but I wanted the look, and I compromised that.
Right.
But what I'm saying is when it goes in your head somewhere, I feel like I'm bombing.
Yeah.
How are you able to compartmentalize that and not let it affect your... Because I see with other comics and you can tell they're off their game. Like
yeah,
I remember
it takes them down.
At that Robert De Niro shooting that we did, one of the comics who it was almost unflappable. He wasn't doing that well and you could see it was just fucking with him.
Right.
But with you, you could not see it.
Wow, thank you. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. You just
confidence.
I just kind of confidence.
Mike, can we put
he
you
knows
down?
His stuff is really powerful. And he did it many times, and it kills 99.9% of the time. And
man, thank you. What the
Mike,
fuck?
Can we...
I love this show.
Mike, can we put you down for Will Silvins' New Joke City, which is starting next Wednesday? He's doing a show...
I have no idea. Really? Like, what is it?
Will is producing a show, all new, where comics do new jokes. It's a workshop. Of new jokes.
I think I need that now. Take that one.
I think for a guy
that.
Like you...
That's
like,
important for me, yeah.
I think the audience really, really appreciates when somebody well-known...
I would totally
they're
do
They're seeing
that.
Them do new jokes. That's even more fascinating,
sure.
I think, for
and
them.
Where? Next door? Oh, yeah.
I got a...
Pussycat.
Wait.
Within the crowd, though, is new jokes. So it's like, you could come up there with a pen and a pad. No, Monday. Next Monday...
And every Monday.
August 15th, every Monday.
I could definitely do one this summer, definitely.
Oh,
one
great.
Or two, yeah.
Now, cool. Is New Joke City the best name for it? Is it a little...
Well, it's a working title.
It's a working title.
How about just workshop? Like what? Like,
New Joke City.
New Jack City.
Who even remembers New Jack City? Millennials?
Will.
Did you do any of the same stuff on your Comedy Central half hour on the special, or was it all new material?
I think there was two jokes that I did, but... It was like longer, much
right.
longer versions of it.
Wait,
you know,
my,
like
cool.
just like to kind of tee into it.
Sure.
It was like, I think maybe two.
Nice.
But other than
That's
that,
great.
It was like,
my, you know, I just.
Because I wanted to kind of stay on topic with,
sure.
with a lot of the stuff.
Getting
and
back to, new,
to
New Joke City.
totally cutting you off at the knees.
No, well, because I was.
Wait,
I was asked, man. I feel like I kept bringing it up. I was just answering the question.
No. Dan is just an amazing piece of work.
Well, because I did have a theme.
Who gives a shit?
And I think it's interesting. I think it's quite interesting. And it's something new that's going on at the Cellar. And I think it is interesting.
Let it be organic. Let it go where it wants to go, Dan.
Wait, what are you going to well, ask? I'm Max. I mean, he can't.
So then what do you do?
First of all, the point that I wanted to make was that new joke, some comics who have tenure here, that is to say they can't be thrown out because you would never, for example, tell Aziz he can't work here.
That's right.
So Aziz does New Joke City anyway. A lot of these comics like Chris Rock and Aziz will go up there with a notepad and they'll kind of do New Joke City
anyway.
Right. So but this is a chance for people like us.
Yes. Now, but Michael Che is what we call a tweener. You know, he's not, right? He's not Aziz, although not that he should be.
Did you make that up? Do other people use that word?
People use that word in all kinds of contexts.
I call him a twigger, but go ahead. Yeah.
People use that word. People use the word tweener in all sorts of contexts.
Is that okay, Will? Oh, no, okay, go ahead.
Check with Will.
It mainly means somebody who's not a, whatever. But anyway, you know, Mike is not. I don't know how famous Mike is because we're all so insulated here that, like, I didn't even know Aziz was famous until I saw him go on stage and everybody fucking went nuts.
You know what? That's honestly, that makes a lot of sense with Aziz too. Like, you never really know how famous, because I always remember Aziz from just being around.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
And then, like, we would go somewhere and it'd be holy shit, you know? Like, it's crazy. You know who else is like that too? Was Trevor. I didn't know Trevor was famous until I, like, answered one of his tweets. And I got like 1,000 retweets, like immediately. I'm like, what?
But
the
this
fuck
was happened?
Yeah, famous. This was before the Daily Show.
Because he was famous internationally.
Yeah,
I had no idea he was famous though. Like, because you just know, like, yeah, when you're in a club, when you're playing clubs, you don't know. You just know them.
So, but is it fair to say that Aziz is more is bigger than you? And if so, by how much?
100 maybe. 100 times more.
Okay, I wouldn't know that. I mean,
he played the Garden.
I will say. Wait, that's true. He did. I will say this about Mike: if I'm an alien from space and you put Mike and Aziz next to each other, which one's a famous one? I'm going with Mike.
Why?
Mike just looks like you know, and
I don't know.
Mike looks like a you know, more of a force.
That's what I was trying to tell you. Not well, he's wearing, Aziz. That's what I was telling you when we started the show.
Yeah, he does. I never said Mike didn't have great charm and charisma.
He has.
He's wearing.
I don't recall ever saying that.
He's wearing the intimidating Knicks jersey that no one was referring to.
Well, I think Sam Royal has a joke about that. So you don't do that notepad thing here at the Comedy Cellar.
I never. I know. Well,
if you get famous like Dave Chappelle famous, would you bring a notepad on stage?
No, I don't like. I don't like to bring notepads ever. Only time I bring up notepad is if I'm doing an hour and I'm running the set and I need to get to everything. Mm. And just because I don't want to forget and then it's just a waste of a show.
At the hour special, I saw you had just like little
But that's because I haven't had I didn't have a long time to tour this hour and really like get it down pat. So I was like, well, give me that just so, because I wanted to make sure I got to everything. And I know like a lot of TV tapings, you got to like redo stuff and fucking clap for this and tee up this. So I wanted it to be kind of as smooth as possible and feel as much like a regular show.
How long did you have to prep for it?
I mean, not prep for it, but we did a update for 2 weeks and for the conventions. And then my real prepping, I was here doing like just new jokes and working out jokes and then getting tags from people. And The one time I got to run it was in D.C. I did 2 shows a night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Thursday I took off, looked at the venue, and then Friday I taped it. So it was like really...
Yeah.
D.C. must have been nice.
He has an
D.C.
hour.
D.C. I got a lot of work done. That's
he has an hour of the most solid material. Ooh, I mean, I mean, it's a solid, 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 solid hour by standards of anything that I've ever seen.
What's the title? You. Also, before you came, we saw Will's penis.
I just thought, what?
Before you came, we also saw a picture of Will's penis.
On purpose?
I just felt like that we all were in on something you hadn't seen. I just felt like I wanted you to know what we saw. All
right.
Well, I think he knows just by the look of terror in our eyes.
I just want to explain the mood.
All right. Cool.
Do you have a name for the show?
I do.
Will's penis.
Oh, you want it? You? what is it?
I don't.
You don't want to say? You don't have to.
I could. It's called Michael Che Matters.
Nice.
Oh, that's good.
I like it. Is there a hashtag associated with that?
No, it's just Michael Che Matters.
That's good.
That's great.
But like, if you hear the material, it makes sense. You know.
No, it's great. It's a triple entendre. It's great.
Well, it's in the air.
Your opening, your first 15 minutes opening, I think was amazing. I never heard none of those jokes.
I can't wait.
I'm a big fan of you.
Will, man, when every time, like, me and Will together, we always, like, go over jokes and talk about stuff. And a lot of that stuff was, like, from D.C. Like, I was like, oh, you know what? I'm going to put this in. Maybe I should add this just to fill it out. It's frustrating because you wish you could do that. Like, I wish I could just take 6 months and write a fucking special, but I just can't. It's just.
Well, but that's not how you work, though. You work from the stage up,
yeah,
right?
Not yeah.
From the pad up.
Yeah. But I wouldn't bring a pad up. I don't like the pad. I think you know what happens when you bring a pad up, especially like I'll bring a pad up for a set, like for like joke lists. like, okay, I want to get to this joke. I want to make sure I remember to tell this joke. But I can't put jokes on the pad, like notes, because I need to, it's got to be organic. After a while, I start to memorize what it is as opposed to
just
performing.
Do you actually sit home and write jokes, or you just...
I sit home and write the punchline, like the funniest part of it. And then I'll try to get to it in a conversation. Like, I try to shoehorn it. And then once I shoehorn it, that kind of gives me an idea of what the structure is. Like, I try to just make the point.
Was that always your writing process?
Yeah, always. Hmm. I would just think of the funniest thing, like the funniest isolated sentence, and then try to figure out a way to get to it. So to make you think I'm doing this, like, and then get to that point.
Like I always look at your jokes. Like, I always think, damn, Michael Che must have really sat down and wrote these jokes, because they're so smart.
Oh,
like
thank you,
like,
man.
Like the Esther Essence, we should bomb. Epson. What is it? Esther Essence?
Epson.
Epson, the print.
Essence Magazine. Yeah.
We should bomb Essence Magazine.
That's such a brilliantly written joke. Did you just create that on, like, there's some jokes you create on stage, or like you just talking shit and it just
he must
up.
Have tried to buy some printer ink one day and say, what the fuck?
Yeah, no, I think that one came from, like, just literally saying, I think I was as a matter of fact, I think it was on the radio. I think somebody was asking me, like, I was like, this, I don't care about oil. Like, is that the only thing, whatever? And it was like, I was like, there's stuff out there way more valuable than oil. And it was like, what? I was like, ink.
Right.
But it was just like that. And then I was like, okay, well, how do you recreate that kind of. That's why I like podcasts and interviews and shit, because especially if you're on a podcast with a bunch of comedians, even if you have a funny thought, they'll ask you a question that makes you think something else. And you're like, I would have never thought, that I can't jump. Write alone because it's just too biased.
But this is the thing about the Monday Night Joke Night. It's not just, you could go up there.
It's a great idea.
You could go up
You've
there by yourself.
It's
sexy. No, hold on. You could go up there by yourself, but also... You know how, like, we had that banter back and forth on the stage?
Yes.
There'll be a lot of that on the stage where comics are having a lot of banter back and forth with their lines or stories.
I'll tell you this plug for the Cellar. When I first heard about the Cellar, was mostly from Tough Crowd and from Comedian, Jerry Seinfeld movie. And the vibe of it, I remember coming here, like, you know, just to, like, watch the vibe of it, when, like, listening to Godfrey and Artie and people like that, like, yell from the stage and, like, those kinds of moments, and the outside, you know, sitting outside and back table, like, all that stuff is what's sexy about this club to me. It's like,
I remember talking with you about that years ago.
Yeah.
Years ago.
I've known Emma forever. Yeah. Like, that's what kind of makes you want to play here.
And be a comedian.
Yeah. I always felt like Eddie Murphy and guys like that made me want to be, like, a comedian, like a famous comedian. But this club was, like, the first time I was like, oh, I want to be the working comic. You know, like, I want to be, like, it was different. It wasn't a theater. It wasn't a shiny suit. It was like, this is in a club, dark. Drinks clinking, like, that's the vibe.
Oh, like that banter with the comics at the comics table?
Yeah.
So I found a way on how to take it to the stage. Like, you know, me and you do it, Dave Attell.
Yeah.
Jay Oakerson, we do a lot. Uh-huh. C&C Smith. Like, all these comics, we do after I get them on stage, I have a little banter quick.
Yeah.
But now, on Monday nights, I'm hoping to bring more of that.
Yeah, I'll yell shit at you. And
the Oakerson Sylvan's banter is priceless.
It's pretty great.
It's like Abbott and Costello.
Yeah, it's pretty fantastic.
Jay Oakerson and you back.
We have to say goodbye to
Emma. We have to say goodbye to everybody, actually. But I just want to say one thing about this Monday Night Joke Night. The idea, it may or may not work. But if it works, I'm going to tell you why. It's not because of the idea. It's because everybody loves Will Sylvince.
Mm. Yeah.
Honestly, that will be the reason that it works, because people who would normally not want to go to a bullshit night like that, whatever it is, they will come.
You're talking about the comics or the audience?
The comics, because Will create the kind of vibe of warmth and respect kind of that will make people want to do that night. And that is the magic of Will Sylvince. I really believe that. I'm saying it's a tricky thing to create a scene, a night. Like Hannibal was able to do that. I never went there, but
Sunday night, yeah.
You have to have a certain presence to create something like that. And I think Will, if it succeeds, it'll be because
we'll certainly update our podcast listeners and radio listeners on that if it succeeds or fails. And we certainly hope for great success.
All right. Special thanks to Michael Che for joining us. Good night, everybody.